All right, from Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef and your host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Aaron Howlett. We'd like to thank you for joining us again as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
And our hope is to encourage you out there to get out and explore your own Edible Valley and maybe sample some of the wonderful foods that you can find. Tonight, we're talking to Hot Chocolates on their 31 years, or going on to their 32nd year in the Comox Valley.
And tonight we're joined by Michelle Henry and Jordan Marshall of Hot Chocolates.
Hello.
So we just want to get into it, and maybe you guys could, in your own words, explain Hot Chocolates, how it all came to be, and because we're talking, we just realized today was 1986 is when you started the whole operation, and it's definitely grown from there, so I'm just wondering how it all came to be and how it started.
Two ladies, Sherry and Deanna, were working on Demon Island and running a cafe, the Demon Island Cafe. And they found that folks had a real love for sweet because they had alternate diets and sweet kind of helped carry them. They had a lot of success with some chocolates that they experimented with. And rather than continue on Demon Island, they thought maybe they had a business out of it. So they committed to a space in town. They commuted for a year and a half or so. The business was born, and I got to meet them not too long after they were located on Duncan.
Oh, wow.
It was the little tiny storefront, and said, handmade Belgian truffles, and I didn't quite know what that meant, and I thought it sounded expensive, so I better walk on the opposite side of the street. And then some friends came to town, and they bought some chocolates, and they says, oh, you've got to try these. I went in the next Monday after the weekend and introduced myself and bought a few chocolates, and we got to be friends, and what I was doing took me away from the community for a while, and they'd said, join us. I was kind of skeptical because it was pretty small, but we decided to go for it and jumped in. At a certain point, they were 7 years old at that point, and Mom was starting to feel like she'd kind of like a break.
Right.
From saying, would you like that in milk, white, or dark chocolate? And
right.
So she stepped away for a while, and then she came back, and we started doing other things, other stores. And that's a good place for Michelle to jump in because she knows all that.
Just throwing you on the spot.
So they were a really strong mother and daughter team.
Right.
And Jordan joined them and then partnered up with Sherry. We lost Sherry in 2010 to breast cancer. Oh, so man. It's still a family-owned business. It's owned by her mom, Jordan, and her two children.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been with the company for 16 years.
16 wow. years. Wow.
So, and there is one employee that has been there a year longer than me and a number of employees that have been there a year less than me.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really, it's a good retention business. Like we've maintained some really good long-time staff, which has been wonderful.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, you're kind of an icon of the downtown area because, I mean, a lot of people always refer to it and it's like one of the places to go when you're in the downtown. So
we were talking about that earlier, just how there's that handful of businesses that are the downtown core of Courtney in the Comox Valley, and how, you've just been sort of synonymous.
When you talk about the number of folks that have been there for a long time, it's true. But tragically, there are folks that go to school and go off to other communities like Vienna May. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, we hear she's coming back to town. So when she hears this, she should know she'd come say hi to us, the producer's daughter.
Right. That's excellent.
It's a fun place to work. Like, you're working with an amazing medium, which is fun to create with, easy to talk about, and it's just great to be able to encourage people with what we do because there's such a variety of things that appeal to people.
Well, maybe we should just talk about the store for someone who hasn't had a chance to, hasn't been in there and that may be interested, which is very strange in the Comox Valley. But we do have a few people from out of town that do listen in. So how would you describe the store of what?
Maybe more to the point too. You said that you started off with truffles and you've obviously expanded from there. So maybe you can outline some of that.
Okay. So basically, we're a chocolate boutique. That's what we originated as. Mm-hmm. We are still making the handmade truffles that were started with the same recipes over 30 years ago.
There's some in the bag.
Wow. I've been eyeing that up myself, so yeah.
So they're long-time family traditions for some people in the Valley.
Right.
For some people, they are new. They are special and unique in their own way that they're made by hand. So
right.
We hand weigh them, we hand roll them, and then we hand dip them.
Wow.
So there's no machinery involved. Mm-hmm. It's all hand production, which of course lends its own appearance and quality. It just makes it unique.
Right.
We recently have expanded into making our own caramels, of which we brought you guys as well.
Well,
I'm feeling lucky right now. This may be why we started this podcast.
Yeah. There you go. So that's enabled us, it pushed us a little bit because it was a new medium to work with, but it's also given us an opportunity to experiment with flavors of caramel, and it has added the challenge of how to package caramel, but it's just an opportunity to learn something new, try something new, and again, they're all, you know, hand-dipped again. So we're working on that part. It's labor-intensive, but it's satisfying because you're producing a product that has eye appeal and uniqueness to itself. We also make our own pralines, like we're roasting all our own nuts within the store as well. And
I know John, I don't know if he's supposed to, get out there, but he just asked me before we got together for this. He said, "Have you ever been downstairs of Hot Chocolates?" I was like, "No, why? Why would I be there?" And he's like, "Well," and then he just said, "It's the store, which is huge upstairs." He said it's massive downstairs, and just all the various equipment and molds and all of the things that go into the chocolate making. It's vast and cavernous. And
truly it is.
We've just done a bit of prettifying downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
It's functional prettifying. because we make, when you knock the air bubbles out of chocolate, you kind of make a rattly sound. And sometimes the chocolate comes off your fingers or it gets on things. And so the room downstairs is split in half, and half of it is all the materials for packaging plus finished product, and right up against where the chocolate's made, and so that's not going to work. So we had curtains, and then we had like blankets to deaden the sound,
right?
And it you had a wall right in front of your face. So we put up clear curtains, and as little evolutions have been happening in the last year, it's still not a big space. It's a little bit difficult to bring people in for tours.
Right.
We have had many requests from young people. And every now and again, when it comes to a significant milestone, you know, the 25th, the 30th, we'll sometimes take the kitchen and take one kettle, bring people in and hairnet them, wash them up. And they'll dip their own chocolates.
Oh, wow.
And when that day's done, that chocolate's done.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, it goes around. They follow the whole process through packaging and take home their own little chocolates that they created. But it is a bit of a process to bring people into the kitchen, kitchen.
Yeah.
I think I was lucky when I got in there because I did a tour with the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association.
You
guys did a great little tour. And I was kind of amazed because it's a big store, or you probably think it's not that big because you always want to be bigger, right? But you see all the products that you guys have upstairs, and then you go downstairs and realize that's where it's being made and how much goes into that. And I was impressed just with the amount of molds that you guys have for, it seems like, every occasion, and how far ahead you have to be prepping to keep up with the seasons. So
it's Halloween.
Wow.
It's Halloween
right now.
Yes.
Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just necessity to be able to stay ahead of the wave of the seasons.
Yeah.
So we're moving into our season essentially as fall and winter. So
incredible. Hopefully you don't mind. I was just, as I said earlier, you guys are one of those synonymous names with downtown Comox Valley or downtown Courtney. But yeah, downtown Courtney there's that handful of businesses that are, you know, sort of the pillars of the downtown core. And one of the things that separates them, at least in my eye, is not just that you've been there and you've been a business there for a while, it's that you're also part of the community. And I know that you guys are definitely, you know, do a lot for the community and interact with the community in a lot of ways. But one thing that struck me that I think I've never heard the story of, but I know a lot of people ask, is why the on the one wall, why the wrapper is pulling aside and showing Fields. I mean, some people do remember that Fields was there, but what possessed you to keep that or hold on to that was...
We have precious little that's old in the downtown or, right. or in the Comox Valley.
Right.
And when Scotiabank was doing a renovation, there was a firewall.
Right.
A brick wall that was not particularly strong. So they took it down. And when they took it down, there was this milky green wall with the word Fields on it.
Right.
And we got so many... I mean, I love old things, so right. it wasn't hard to keep it. But we got so much encouragement to keep it that it made it easier to... contact Kelly Everill and say, can you help us come up with something to put on this wall?
Right.
And she was game. She was working through, was it Valentine's Day? It was she had scaffolding, and I fully expected we'd have people move in because the scaffolding was all enclosed and there was heaters. And,
yeah, right.
But nobody ever did, thankfully. But yeah, it was just to try and hold on to something.
Yeah.
And you go through cities, Vancouver, Portland, mm-hmm. Seattle, and you see old buildings, and you just, you know, mm-hmm. I would hope that everybody would be able to try and keep something that was there. Fields doesn't really represent anything to do with chocolate. We just right. tried to be creative with it and hold on to it.
It's definitely a nice nod to the history of the yeah. street and the community, for sure.
Thank you.
It seems like you guys have so much going on in that store, because we haven't even touched on some of your gelatos and all the nice stuff in the back, right?
That's true.
The ice stuff.
It's true. We produce all the gelato and sorbetto in-house as well, and as well as the fudge. The sorbetto is a lovely treat just to have for people who can't tolerate dairy, and adding the water buffalo is another option to offer an alternative to those people with sensitive diets. That's worked out very well because we're supporting the island herds. There's three herds that contribute to that dairy production. So we can create a gelato that is absolutely 100% water buffalo.
And
so people who are sensitive, they can give it a try.
Right.
We also ran with a special most recently of doing a buffagato instead of an affogato.
Affogato,
yeah. It tastes lovely. It's a really creamy texture to that buffalo
nice.
Gelato.
Really?
So it's really, really quite unique when you figure there's absolutely no dairy. It's just solely the...
Wow. I love the fact that we have water buffalo in this mm-hmm. community and that we have this product available, which is just very distinct and interesting. So, and a lovely product at that. So,
we got an opportunity to go to Italy to the world's largest gelato show in January, and got to eat a lot of gelato.
Sounds rough.
And learned a lot about that they have a lot of water buffalo over there too, and then. It hadn't really dawned on me before why we would pasteurize already pasteurized milk. But our machinery is Italian, and that's how we have a lot of Italian machinery, which, again, we got offered to come and participate in the show, and we thought, how do they know about us? But somehow it traces back. So, yeah, over there, they just take raw milk, and they put it in the gelato machine, which pasteurizes it up top, and then drops it into the freezing chamber. And that was what was available to us when we were... If you're making gelato, you're either... And in Canada, you are pasteurizing the milk. It's already been pasteurized,
right.
but you're pasteurizing it again, and you either would have a big batch pasteurizer and then a batch freezer, or a combi machine, which is what we have. But yeah, I thought, well, that sure makes a lot more sense that it's an Italian machine and they're just taking that raw milk, putting it in, and it's doing the same process. It takes it to the temperature it needs to be. And it's been very difficult for the buffalo milk as well. It's new, so
right.
it's going through that process, and it's not through mainstream dairy.
Right.
So the folks that are providing it they're growing and learning at the same time.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Over in Italy, they don't hardly even flavor the white. It's already a naturally sweet milk, and they don't even really put vanilla in it.
Wow.
So the first few batches we made, it was overwhelming. So we cut back on the vanilla, and you start to get more of the natural taste of the milk. Then sometimes you'll get milk, and it'll have a slightly different flavor. And, you know, you're tasting, and you're alert to this change. And, okay, now we're back into like a varietal chocolate, a varietal coffee, a varietal wine. It's from a specific crop.
Wow.
And it could be how the grass was growing in that herd for that herd
right.
at that part of the year. Later on in the year, it could well be different again. And you have to be okay with that little bit of variation.
Yeah. I guess that's the artistry of making such products, right? Yeah. Having to learn that. And
it's also the glory of having access to fresh dairy, right?
Yeah.
In our community, it's natural that you have, you know, your spring growth on your fields, so that's going to affect your dairy product. It changes right. your fat content and your flavors. And then as the season carries through, you're going to have those adjustments as well, right? So it does, what they're eating changes their the taste of their milk, and so you just got to go with the flow.
I guess that's kind of in our everyday life. We've kind of been dumbed down a bit with the big grocery stores because of that. And
mm-hmm. as we're having the conversation, it occurs to me, yeah, you get very used to the same.
The same.
It's not necessarily that it's a bad same. It's just that you count on it to be the same.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, this is how I'm going to create this dish or this chocolate or this product. And when it changes, you're not used to that.
Yeah.
So that is a pretty neat thing. And it's a small part of what we're doing right now, but we'll see how it grows and how it's received.
Fantastic.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Any other things in the works before we start wrapping this up? Sorry.
We're getting the hook already?
No.
our fudge process is going to change now that we have our fire cooker fully up and running and our cooling. We have a cream conditioning or cream beating table, they're called. That will make a different product. And the caramels, we've got 7 wow. flavors. Yeah, there's a brand new one, which we could call it Tropical Heat. It's a chili pineapple.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's a caramel
we're,
apple.
We're sampling the apple crisp caramel upstairs right now. So it's nice. Just seeing the feedback, you know, hearing the feedback from the customers, letting them try things and see what sort of reception we get and
that's
whether
the best
it's
way to learn.
A direction to head off or whether we go, oh, that was fun. Let's right. do something different.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you guys have been around long enough to know that trend and which way to follow it. Right. So, and check out what the customer has and what they want.
You
so.
Need to pay attention for yeah. sure. Yeah.
Portion sizes. We started to observe some people eating some of the caramels and we thought, they might be a bit on the large side. It might be a bit overwhelming for that right. much sweet. So we have to look at that. And the other thing we have to look at is the number of pieces we carry in the showcase that have to turn over every week.
Of course.
If you get too many, something's not going to stay fresh as it should. So then you have to think, well, no, that one's special, but you're going to have to pick and choose. So when you get up to the Christmas, Valentine's, Easter season, you can carry more product, more selection. So we've got lots of tourists in town. They're interested in new things too, adventurous.
Wow.
Do you ever get the comparison to the set SNL Pete Schwede?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm really hearing it.
Yeah. No, it definitely comes across that way for sure. That was when we first started doing this. We got the joke quite a few.
Good job.
Yeah. And I was quite interested to know how many employees work for. I know you've had some long time ones there.
Million.
No, we range about 50.
Oh yeah,
45 to 50 employees.
Free range.
Wow,
so it's a busy place. Like we employ a lot of people from the valley just to
right.
keep the whole thing happening. It's all hands on product. We work with wow. a whole lot of labor.
If you added up our cleaners, I think there's almost 5 full time cleaners between wow. 4.5.
It's a big
full time cleaners.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, we like to sparkle.
Your reach must go much further than just the valley, then.
For sure. We ship. We do online ordering right now. Don't look. You have to.
Well, no, I knew that you were available outside of the valley. You must do a lot outside of the valley.
We do a lot of shipping.
Incredible.
Yep.
Wow.
So how far is your reach? Or
Istanbul.
Wow.
Mainz, Germany.
Wow.
Barrie, Ontario.
Actually, in Nunavut, too.
No.
Really? Yep. Oh, yeah. No, it started out with a lovely teacher up there, and she ordered one Christmas, just phoned up and said, I'd like to order some chocolate. So we talked to her, and we sent the chocolate up, and she's since gotten other people involved, and now they actually place a really outstanding order at wow. least once a year, sometimes twice a year.
That's fantastic.
So wonderful. It's fun. Yeah, England. We talk to a lot of
nice.
People from around the world.
Lafayette, Hammond, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Wow. So you have a bit of a reach from the small little community here.
Where's that place in Texas? Plano.
Well, I mean, this is a perfect segue to, if people want to get in contact and get some of this wonderful chocolate and some samples, how might they do that?
At this time, our website is under construction. We're trying to rework it so that ordering online is easier.
Right.
So at this time, they're having to phone the shop and order through Arlene, but she is stellar at taking your order, ensuring that you get your product in time, and the packaging department is more than capable of packaging it, so it will make it to its destination as
good
as expected, to meet expectations.
So. Did you want to leave that phone number here?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's 250-338-8211.
Perfect.
Or 1-866-468-2462. Orders at hotchocolates.ca.
Orders at hotchocolates.ca. That's easy. And just, we'd be love to have the location just for someone who maybe is out of town and has not come to Fifth Street.
368 Fifth Street, next door to Scotiabank.
And there's a beautiful Fields.
With the Fields, with the Fields mural.
Mural on the side of it. So.
And some pretty awesome Super Tunias in red and white to go with the Canada 150 theme.
Right.
80 feet of them.
Wonderful. Well, we would thank you guys so much. We're going to have you come back because we've only talked about half of your store.
Right.
Because there's the other side that we would love to get in and chat with you. But I think we'll save that for a second episode that we'll put up in a couple weeks or something for everyone to listen in. Is there anything else you'd like to add before?
Come and visit us. Yeah. We promise it'll be a positive experience in your day.
Perfect.
I know I drop by all the time. And if I'm not there, Kirsten is in there, definitely always sampling. She's a bit of a chocolateholic, so.
She is.
I have lots of chocolate around my house. I don't have chocolate. She has lots of chocolate.
And it doesn't always have to be sweet.
That's true.
So we can help you out with that.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Jordan and Michelle for joining us today.
I would like to thank everyone out there for listening and joining in. We'd love to hear some feedback. We'd love for you to go to Hot Chocolates and have some definite chocolates as well. If you have any questions about this episode or anything we've been doing here, please email us at theedwellvalley@gmail.com. Of course, check us out. Listen to the podcast. Our podcast host is the Podbean, but you can hear us on iTunes, Stitchers, Google Play. We're pretty much out there everywhere, so we'd love to hear from you. If you feel like writing a review on that, it helps spread the message and get us out there and let everyone hear what's happening in our lovely Edible Valley. And we like to encourage you to go out and explore your own Edible Valley and find out all those wonderful treats that are within your own community. And Darren, you want to thank our sponsors?
I do. I want to thank James here at Studio Live for helping us get the show going, as always, and Kirsten Wood Music. We also have a new sponsor, Blaine.
Our old host and my
Blaine
good buddy.
Blaine Krause is sponsoring us now, and with his, he is now Fletcher, and his company?
Beaufort Traditional.
Thank you, Beaufort Traditional. We also want to thank Ivan's Truffles. We want to thank Atlas Cafe, and we want to thank the Butcher's Block for their
continued
support.
Of course, the Butcher's Block, for sure.
Thanks.
Anyways, well, thanks again for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.